The Clairton Coke Works is a huge polluter in southwestern Pennsylvania, but some want to keep it running.
At the end of the day, do you realize what happened to the city of Clairton and the city school district if we closed that mill down? We would not be here today. We'd be like a ghost town.
I'm Carol Holsoppel. This week on the Allegheny Front, a special look at Clairton, home of the largest Coke facility in North America, and the people who live with the industry there.
He can't run around and go play and, you know, stay over other kids' houses because I don't know how his asthma's going to react. So I would be okay if they closed the mill.
Some residents say they've had enough, and they're taking action by telling their stories.
I feel like I do have a purpose, and maybe this is one of my purposes to kind of do something to help.
That's coming up on the Allegheny Front. Stay with us. Since the passage of the Clean Air Act, air quality in the U.S. has steadily improved. But near Pittsburgh, air quality around a large U.S. steel facility is actually getting worse. Local regulators say the plant is to blame, and they've been in a tug of war with the company for decades over pollution. In the second installment of the Allegheny Front series about communities bearing the brunt of pollution, Reed Frazier reports that Allegheny County's effort to clean up the plant may have reached a turning point.
Inside a small conference room in the Allegheny County Health Department, the region's air quality may hang in the balance. U.S. Steel is appealing a penalty to its Clairton Coke Works, a mammoth industrial facility about 20 miles to the south along the Monongahela River. U.S. Steel is appealing an order that threatens to put part of the plant on standby if the company doesn't address what the county says are persistent air quality violations there. During a break in testimony, Matt Mahalik of the Breathe Collaborative, an environmental group, says this day has been a long time in coming.
Well, what signifies is that the county is enforcing air quality regulations. It was clear today from some of the testimony, to me at least, that the county is following through on its authority.
At issue is a penalty imposed by the county that says if the plant doesn't improve, the county will order parts of it to be put on hot idle. That's where coke ovens are kept hot, but no coke is produced. The company is claiming this could damage its equipment and cost it up to $400 million. U.S. Steel didn't respond to interview requests, but in an email, the company said it would continue its appeal, calling the penalty unprecedented. At the appeal hearing, a lawyer for the company questioned whether the county had devised its standards for compliance on sufficient scientific study. Citing the appeal, Health Department Director Karen Hacker declined an interview request. But in testimony at the appeal hearing, county officials said Clairton has been on hot idle before, with no apparent damage. And they say the penalty was the best way to get the company to clean up what the county is describing as deteriorating conditions at the Clairton Coke Works. Rachel Filippini is watching the case closely. She's executive director for the Group Against Smog and Pollution and says the county has tried and failed to control pollution at Clairton for decades.
This is the scenario that we see over and over again.
Regulators reached major settlements of pollution violations with U.S. Steel in 1979, 1993, 2007, 2008, 2014, and 2016. But each time, Filippini says, the company failed to meet its requirements.
In the meantime, they're continuing to pollute and people are continuing to get sick and die. And then a couple of years later, another fine is issued.
After the 2016 judgment, emissions from the plant actually got worse, the county says. Overall, compliance with local air laws declined from 94% in 2014 to just 75% this year. Among the biggest problems are emissions from the doors of coke ovens, which can leak out a laundry list of pollutants like fine particles, which can go deep into the lungs, and carcinogens like benzene. But in January, the health department enacted a strict new enforcement policy. And in June, it issued $1 million fine and set a time limit for the plant to clean up. If it didn't fix its pollution problems, the plant would have to put its two worst performing coke batteries on hot idle. So is the county taking a new, tough stance on Clairton? Filippini says she's not sure yet.
I mean, we've been doing this for 5 decades, and so we've been disappointed in the past. So we are, I guess, cautiously optimistic.
Filippini wants the county to do whatever it takes to get the plant to cut pollution. But not everyone shares her attitude. Rich Latanzi is the mayor of Clairton. He's also a steelworker who works at another U.S. steel plant nearby, the Irvin Works in West Mifflin.
This is our new produce store here, by the way. This marketplace that just opened up about 3 weeks ago. We had all the big shots in here from Harrisburg and so on and so forth.
He's taking me on a tour of the town in his SUV. Clairton once had 25,000 residents. Now there's just 6,000. Latanzi says he's trying to keep the town from sinking any further. We pull into the crowded parking lot in front of the Coke Works. 1,000 people work here. Trucks haul steaming hot piles of freshly made Coke out the front gate. Coke is nearly pure carbon and a key component in steelmaking. It's made by baking coal at 2,000 degrees inside coke ovens. Inside the plant perimeter, we see huge billows of steam pour out of tall stacks.
Yeah, that's a quencher tower right there. That's all steam.
The quenching tower cools off hot coke, just as it's come out of hot ovens, and pushed into transport cars.
When it falls out, it lands in these cars. Then the car gets full, it moves forward, and it's all glowing orange. It goes down a little bit, then it goes under these quenching towers, and I don't know how many they have. But that's whenever they drop all this water for like 2-3 minutes and they quench it down.
Latanzi, who's 54, says the air here has gotten better. He remembers when pollution from the Coke Works left the hillside across the Monongahela River barren rock. As we cross a bridge over the river, he points up a hillside, now covered in trees.
Years ago, nothing was able to grow. Nothing. Even this right here is crazy to have trees here. It was all like stones and nothing.
Later, we stop at a hillside overlooking the plant. Steam pours out of several quenching towers, but a blue pall also hovers over one part of the plant.
That's what we're concerned with. The blue smoke that you see definitely would be some of the gases or vapors escaping from an oven that's making the coal, and it doesn't have a good seal. It's probably either a poor design or it's an older battery.
Latanzi says he wants the county to fix problems like that smoke, but at the same time, he's worried. The Coke Works makes up a third of the tax base for the city, and he would never want it to shut down.
But at the end of the day, do you realize what happened to the city of Clairton and the city school district if we closed that mill down? We would not be here today. We'd be like a ghost town.
But the plant's struggles to curb air pollution are causing a drop in air quality, the county says. Clairton's air is some of the worst in the country. In a minute, we'll see what it's like to breathe it. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Reed Frazier.
Are you keeping up with the latest news on the Trump administration and the environment? It's not easy, even for us, and it's our job. That's why we started the Trump on Earth podcast and invited other journalists and experts to tell us what they know and give us their perspective.
In my view, scientists' voices need to be heard. And to turn our backs on that now is literally a threat to civilization.
Pipelines, currently the steel that's used to make them is manufactured all over the world. We'll see how successful the Trump administration is in getting manufacturing ready to take on that task. That kind of remains to be seen.
Tune in to the Trump on Earth podcast at trumponearth.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Today, we're focusing on one of the largest sources of air pollution in Pennsylvania, U.S. Steel's Clairton Coke Works, just southeast of Pittsburgh. Allegheny County, which regulates the plant's air emissions, says the plant has been backsliding on air pollution in the last 4 years, and air quality nearby is getting worse. The Allegheny Front's Reed Frazier went to Clairton to learn about what it's like to live next to North America's largest Coke Works.
Zi-Hao Lee is crouching on a metal-grated platform on a bluff overlooking the Clairton Coke Works. The plant below sprawls 3 miles along the Monongahela River, and steam and smoke rise from towers and equipment scattered throughout the complex. Lee is a graduate student at Carnegie Mellon University. He's looking at a small computer screen hooked up to air monitoring equipment, showing readouts about current wind conditions.
Wind data, wind direction, wind speed.
Lee is part of a research team experimenting with low-cost air quality monitors to give a better sense of what the air is like in the region. Knowing which direction the wind is blowing is key to understanding how pollution here is dispersed, Lee says.
First, we get the wind right, then we can see if the pollution will follow the wind.
The air Lee and the other scientists are monitoring is, officially, some of the dirtiest in the country. According to EPA data, an air monitor 1 mile north of here now registers the highest year-round levels of fine particles east of the Rockies and is the only monitor in the county that violates EPA standards for these particles. Albert Presto is the Carnegie Mellon scientist overseeing the monitoring project. He says the reason the air here is so bad is because of large industrial sources of pollution.
And the big source, sort of the 800-pound gorilla, is the Clairton Coke Works.
Presto says this pollution can have health effects, like increasing the risk of heart attacks and lung disease, but also asthma. Presto says that between 50 and 100,000 people live close enough to the plant to be affected by its pollution.
You know, on one hand, there are 1.2 million people in the county, you know, so it's 10-ish percent. On the other hand, that's 100,000 people who are living with a level of risk that's deemed unacceptable by the EPA.
Remember, big breath in, hard and fast out. Go, 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 go. Keep going, go, 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 go. All right. You needed to practice.
In the nurse's office at Clairton Elementary School, Nicole Sawson gives sixth grader Savon Williams a breathing test. He's blowing into a tube that measures his lung capacity. On a computer screen, Savon watches a cloud rise or fall, depending on how hard he's blowing into the tube. The goal is to get the cloud to stay in the middle of the screen. Sawson is a project coordinator for a Duquesne University team that set up a twice-monthly asthma clinic here. The team screens students, teaches them about taking inhalers, and helps parents keep medication on hand for their kids. After his breathing test, Williams sits down with Dr. Deborah Gentile.
How have you been feeling?
Good.
Good. Are you having any problems?
I used my inhaler because I was coughing.
Yeah. Are you using your rescue a lot?
Gentile's team has been in the school for 4 years. She says Savon was one of the first students they saw.
When we first met him, he was what we would call a severe persistent. He was basically using his rescue med multiple times a day, every single day, going to the emergency room every couple weeks. So he's really come a long way.
Clairton is one of several sites she's studying to determine what impacts air pollution has on kids with asthma. Gentile's team found asthma rates at Clairton double the countywide rate. She thinks the pollution from the Clairton Coke Works is causing at least some of it.
Yeah, I mean, there's multiple triggers, but this bad air is one that is affecting everyone, and it's not just a disease of asthma. You know, it's not like if we close this plant, all these kids, their asthma's not going to totally go away, but it's probably going to improve.
There are lots of factors that put Savon at greater risk for asthma. African-American boys, for instance, have higher rates of asthma than other kids. But Gentile says the closer the kids she studied lived to a big pollution source, the greater the chance they'd have asthma.
So if you stand like on that side over there, or like if you look right in between that building right there, you can see the mill right there.
From her front porch, Savon's mother, Colette Williams, points out the coke plant a half mile away in the valley below.
Yeah, that's like a white smoke, and then over there is like a dark smoke.
In her living room, she pulls out a handful of plastic pill boxes and inhalers.
So that's his albuterol solution. That's what goes in the machine.
Savon's on 4 medicines daily to keep his lungs open.
And this is his singular pill. It's just a chew pill that he takes every night. Cause drowsiness a little bit, but it's supposed to help with his asthma.
Savon has always had health problems, including asthma. All of Colette's 4 children were born prematurely, but Savon, she says, was the preemiest at 26 weeks. A respiratory infection when he was first born kept him in the hospital for 3 weeks. Colette Williams grew up in Clairton and moved to this house about 6 years ago. A few years after that, Savon's asthma got worse.
I started to see a change in his breathing, how often he got sick, what triggers his asthma.
He developed severe infections from getting colds. There were more doctor visits, more medications. Now 13, she says he can't play sports at a local field across the street from the Coke Works because the fumes from the plant can set him off. She won't let him play football in bad weather either because she's worried he'll get a bad cold that will set his breathing back for weeks. She blames the Coke Works, but says whenever she's complained to city officials, nothing ever happens. She says she understands the mill is a big employer in town, but her first priority has to be her son.
I'm really hurting and upset about my son because he can't be a normal kid. He can't run around and go play and, you know, stay over other kids' houses because I don't know how his asthma is going to react or how he's going to handle the situation when he's not around me. So I would be okay if they closed the mill.
She says barring that, she'd just like to see the plant clean up. And as we'll see in a moment, clean air activists are collecting stories like Savon's to convince regulators to take their health concerns seriously. That's up next. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Reed Frazier.
The Pennsylvania environmental group is taking what seems like a simple tack to fight air pollution in Clairton. It's asking people there to share their personal stories, and it's building relationships along the way. Miriam Maletta opens her hair salon at 11 on Thursdays as her Yorkie, Nino, makes little circles on the linoleum floor.
Who's at the door? Who is it? Go see. Who is it? Go see.
Maletta has been in business here in Clairton for 34 years. She's lived here all her life. And that's evident as a cousin or a nephew pops by the shop to help with a community dinner she's hosting or just to check in.
You know, it's just a hometown. It's just family. We care about each other's children, care about each other. It is just a love that's here.
Maletta's so easy to talk to. And one of the things that her customers talk about when they come to see her is U.S. Steel's Clairton Coke Works, just down the hill.
We talk about how the community thrived when the mill was there. I used to tell a story when I was young. We used to love the smell that used to resonate from the mill, let off. We used to love that smell. Then now when I think about it, like, what was it doing to our health?
The steel mill here wound down its operations in the 60s, and the boomtown started its decline. But they still make Coke here. And Maletta says living for decades with the pollution it creates has taken its toll.
You know, like my dad, he never drank, never smoked. He was a fighter, a boxer, welterweight, ranked number 4 in the world during his time. He was so healthy. And he one day just had stage 4 gastric cancer and was gone in 4 or 5 months.
A brother had asthma. And Maletta herself is a cancer survivor.
August 24th, 2016, I had diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, stage 4, which is cancer of the lymph nodes in my abdomen and my chest.
It was really painful, and she went through rounds of chemo and radiation. She showed me a photo of herself from her phone after she lost her hair. According to a 2009 report by the EPA, air pollution raised Clairton residents' risk of getting cancer to about 20 times the national average. Recent EPA data show the cancer rate in the vicinity of the Clairton Coke Works is about 3 times the national average. Maletta's in remission now, but after her own cancer and her dad's death,
it's really been something it has been on my mind, like, what's going on? What's really going on?
So about 6 months ago, when she met Dave Smith from Clean Air Council outside her shop, and he asked her if he could talk with her about her health and her family, she said, sure.
I felt like when I was standing outside, it was meant for me to just meet him.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, Miriam. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I walked in here one day and said, can we talk? And we, you know, no time, we're best buds. And I did an interview with her for the Legacy of Our Losses program.
Dave Smith has been working in Clairton for about a year and a half, going door to door, talking with people about their losses, lost jobs, family members lost to illness. He's hoping to record and collect the stories of 100 residents and deliver them to the Allegheny County Health Department and Rich Fitzgerald, the county executive, and to U.S. Steel, if they're interested, he says. He's done about 20 interviews right here at the back of Miriam's salon alone.
You guys are kind of a team now because people are coming in here and you're doing interviews.
We are, but she's not doing my hair yet.
When we talked, he was working on Miletta's aunt, Wandra, who was having her hair curled with hot irons.
Not today? You just don't want to do it because of your hair? I think there's a lot of repressed feelings and grief here about how they've been impacted by the plant.
Smith says he just listens. He's good at it. He used to be a minister. But Miriam Miletta says even now, people are reluctant to speak out against the industry, even a polluting one. It employed their fathers and grandfathers, put food on their tables, and put them through college. And because of the way they've been treated.
Because people tend to not think they have a voice and they're not heard. And that's why I believe the mill has gotten away with this so long. You know, because this would be basically called the ghetto. And nobody pays attention. Oh, it's okay. You know, they're poor. You know, they live on, you know, they're county assistants or whatever. Then they feel like, well, does it matter? They're not going to pay any attention to it because they're not going to listen to us anyway. And I think that's really been the problem all these years.
But with Miletta's help and others in the community, Dave Smith says there's been some progress.
It's picking up steam because more and more people are opening up and want to talk. It empowers people when they tell their story and they realize this is what I've been living and why. Why have I tolerated this?
In a few months, Smith will share these stories and hundreds of health surveys he and his group are also collecting. They want the Clareton Coke Works to clean up its act for good and for the county to invest in clean energy jobs here. Miriam Miletta wants to see people in her community become healthier and for Clareton to grow. And she says that's going to mean encouraging more people to stand up and tell their stories.
I don't want to be the one to sit back and say, oh, they should have done this. I want to be a part of something. And I feel like, you know, with me being healed from cancer, I feel like I do have a purpose. And maybe this is one of my purposes to kind of do something to help with this situation, this problem.
For the Allegheny Front, I'm Carol Holsapple. A new study looks at the connection between air pollution and health by focusing on emergency room visits for cardiovascular and respiratory diseases. The study includes 5 cities: Atlanta, Birmingham, Dallas, St. Louis, and Pittsburgh. Evelyn Talbot, professor of epidemiology at the Graduate School of Public Health at the University of Pittsburgh, contributed to the study. She says it incorporates data from 48 air monitors in the greater Pittsburgh region and from the area's major healthcare providers. I spoke with Talbot at her office, where she had the study right in front of her.
First, tell me a little bit about the scope of the study. It looks at a number of types of air pollution in several cities. What are the pollutants?
The ambient air pollutants, which are these standard pollutants that are regulated, ozone, which is a product of combustion and cars, auto exhaust, carbon monoxide, nitrogen dioxide, NOx, which are all the other nitrogen oxides, SO2, sulfur dioxide, PM10 and PM2.5, which is another word for soot, and then the parts of PM2.5, which are elemental and organic carbon. They're just subcategories. And then sulfate, which is more related to coal and combustion again, ammonium and nitrate.
What are some of the main takeaways?
That the uniqueness of this, I think, is that you have the 5 cities, the 12 pollutants, you were able to look at a whole lot of ED visits, and they didn't just look at asthma, they didn't just look at heart attack. They looked at cardiac, consisting of congestive heart failure, arrhythmia, ischemic heart disease, stroke, and they were also able to look at respiratory, COPD, bronchitis exacerbations, asthma.
And just say what ED stands for.
Important emergency department visits. People say EDV, emergency department visits, or just ER, emergency room visits. So that being said, they were able to not just look at one pollutant, one effect, another pollutant, one effect. They were able to combine them and look at groups, but also to to say, well, where are the worst culprits? And they actually found that congestive heart failure had a very significant effect with NOx, with nitrogen dioxide. So NO2 is something that is related to the burning of gasoline, the burning of coal, and the burning of gas on high PM2.5, higher ozone level days. You have a tendency for people who are already vulnerable, already have asthma, already have congestive heart failure, already have COPD, they're more susceptible. So the model is that you might be more apt to have an exacerbation of that condition on a day when the air pollution is higher. But in general, there were some very fine general findings that I think were strengthened by the fact that they had the large sample size, the multiple conditions, and the large number.
Specific to Pittsburgh, were there any findings that were interesting?
Pittsburgh, which we know we do have a lot of cars, but we also have a lot of industry. And St. Louis, if you look across these, Pittsburgh does not have as high of an ozone level as, let's say, Atlanta, Birmingham, or Dallas. They had higher ozone, which doesn't really surprise me so much for Atlanta and Dallas. Why? Because it's warmer. So, but you can see Pittsburgh had was 37 parts per billion compared to 41. But for five of the other seven things, NO2, 1 hour maximum, was 26 compared to the others between 13 and 21. Our sulfate, because sulfate is related to burning of coal in industry, was also the highest. It was at 20. PM10 was neck and neck, pretty close to Birmingham. And PM2.5 was even Steven with Atlanta. Elemental carbon, organic carbon, sulfate, they were all the highest. So again, this was 2002 to 2008, and I would hope that we're doing better than we were. But at that point, we did have very high air pollution levels.
And what does that mean for the health of people who live in this region?
Well, according to the article, there were relationships with stroke, congestive heart failure, asthma, and these various pollutants. So I would say that it is a good thing that our air pollution has, in fact, we still have a way to go, but from 2002 to 2008, 2008 to 9, our air pollution has probably gone down another 15 or 20%, which is a very good thing.
Does this study tell us anything about Pittsburgh's region's air quality and how it affects people that we didn't already know?
I think what it tells me is that in this particular era, again, this was 10 years ago, right? 2002, 2008 was at least 10 years ago. We certainly had higher levels than these, some of these major cities. You think Atlanta, my God. You think Dallas, my gosh. But the reality is, yes, they have a lot of cars, but perhaps they're doing a better job with some of the other industry that they have, right? Because our levels are higher there. But going forward, what it says to me is we do continue to see an effect on congestive heart failure, on asthma, on children. We're looking at children in conjunction with some of these air pollutants. And so I would say to you that we have to continue to make some strides because we clearly have to do better than we're doing.
Evelyn Talbot is professor of epidemiology at Pitt. And she talked with me about a new study published in the journal Environment International that links air pollution with emergency room visits. There's more about that and all of our environmental health reporting for our series Hazardous to Your Health at AlleghenyFront.org. Thanks for joining us on the Allegheny Front. You can always find us on Facebook and Twitter at Allegheny Front. Kathy Naur is the executive producer of our show. I'm Carol Holsapple.
Support for the Allegheny Front comes from the Heinz Endowments, the Pittsburgh Foundation, and the Park Foundation. The Richard King Mellon Foundation supports our coverage of conservation.